Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie.
Hi, Rashida. Happy summer.
Hey, Lauren. Happy summer to you. How's it going?
It's good. I'm excited because this is my favorite time of year, at least in my neighborhood. I love fall, too, where I live, but this is where it's at. How about
you? Lots of parties and get-togethers and kids running around and everyone on the lake.
It's hot. Yeah, lots of social time, lots of nature time. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I like, I don't know, as much as it can be hard to be in the winter, sometimes I like living somewhere with seasons and like really looking forward to the things that pop up every year rhythmically. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoy like being able to just track the cycle of Mother Earth through the seasons and having to experience all of that. I think it allows us to feel grateful for the times when it's not so pleasant sometimes. And knowing that this will pass, like it doesn't last forever. But yeah, I love summer. And then I also love, love, love. My favorite season is fall for sure. It's beautiful here in Virginia with the fall. But yeah, summer is where it's at right now. The kids are enjoying it. Everybody's like at the water and we have like our weeks are full of things and activities to do being out. So really excited for this season.
Yeah. So summer solstice this year is what, June 23rd?
Yes. I want to say yes.
Okay. I never know because the days seem to move around a little bit. But I'm excited to talk about it because...
Oh, it's June 20th.
Oh, 20th. Year. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's the day after Juneteenth. So it's on a Thursday. So this will probably be coming out then on the 19th. So tomorrow is summer solstice. And thanks, besties, for coming along with our scheduling ride. But yeah, I was doing a little bit of research for this. And honestly, I hadn't really thought about summer solstice quite in the way we're going to talk about it before.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited to talk about it. And also, I hadn't really put this together, but the way the seasons turn mimic the moon phases so much and the symbolism behind them. Mm-hmm. So to me, I'm thinking of summer solstice like the full moon.
Yes.
There are so many similarities there. So do you want to talk a little bit about the solstice? What is it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay. You can start.
Oh, you will? I thought you were going to go in. Oh, that's summer brain. So the summer solstice is essentially when here where we are, the sun is at its peak. It is considered the longest day, just like for the winter solstice. It is the longest night. And, you know, it's one of those times where it kind of just feels like the sun is not setting, like, at all, which is wonderful and great. I really enjoy the summer solstice because it just makes you, like, feel really good in your body. You're really warm. You're eating these cool foods, but you just feel more energized. Like that pitta is really activated. What else?
Yeah, I love, so, and I've mentioned this book before, but Circle Round by Starhawk, Diane Baker and Anne Hill, what they say about the summer solstice. So I'll just read it straight from here. But they say the summer solstice reminds us that nothing lasts forever. We do not live in the unchanging twilight realm of fairy, but in the living, dying, fading, and growing realm of earth. Whenever something is completed, we must let it go. Because the things we love don't last forever. We love them all the more while they're here. So to me, that's the parallel with the full moon, is that this is the peak, right? This is where we've had the longest day of the year, where we see the sun the most. And then we know that the days are going to get shorter and shorter. Similarly to at the winter solstice, how we know the days are going to get longer and longer. And we have this like sun as the symbol of hope. Instead, this gives us the opportunity to really hone in on the present moment and to enjoy it, because we know that things will start to get a little bit darker. And there's a lot of beauty in that, I think. So some symbolism there as far as like how to recognize this within your own self is, you know, what am I appreciating right now? And what is changing? What can I let go of? What does that mean for you?
Yeah, I really feel that, and looking at that in that way. And I think you're right, Lauren. Until you said something, I didn't really look at the solstices and the equinoxes in alignment with the phases of the moon. And you're right. Like the summer solstice, it is our longest day. We are at the apex of light. We're getting our fullest light, and we are starting to back away. What am I needing to release? What am I needing to let go? What was working well for me? Maybe what do I need to start putting away until the light starts to come back heavier or longer again? And not that, you know, we're at the end, because technically the summer solstice is the first day of summer. So we have this whole season to really look at what we're doing and seeing what's working for us and what's not. But I really love looking at the summer solstice in that way, in that light, like the full moon, seeing what has come to fruition. You know, we've been doing this tending and this inner work in the winter, and this spring work we started like doing, getting some action and taking these baby steps. And now this summer, like we're full blown in the mix. What are we doing? What's working well? And maybe looking at something we can shift and change as we start losing this light, as we start kind of slowing down again, moving towards the winter.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll add as well that around Beltane, we were celebrating fertility, and therefore the mother, like mother goddess, mothers in general, it aligns with Mother's Day. And the summer solstice actually aligns with Father's Day. So it's a time to recognize the fathers in our lives. And it says in the book that we honor fathers at the summer solstice, for fathers plant the seed of life and give nurturing love and protection to their children. So this year for us, Arthur's birthday is the day after Father's Day. We're going to be at the beach. I guess at the time of this recording, we'll already have been back home. We are recording this a little, or at the time this airs, we're recording it a little bit early. But I am looking forward to, you know, being able to celebrate him and to, you know, celebrate the masculine.
Yeah, that's really cool. Again, never really thought about it that way. I mean, I thought about it that way when we were looking at the coming of the sun, when the winter, you know, the winter solstice, we're greeting the sun, we're looking for father, son. And yeah, you're right. The moon is that more feminine and the sun is that more masculine, and why we have that around the summer solstice. That's really interesting and cool. I don't think we have any plans this year for Daniel. I know I didn't do anything for Mother's Day. And we don't really have any plans for him to do anything for Father's Day. So I think we're just going to like meet somewhere in the middle and do something together and celebrate the both of us together. But I love how we have that like duality, looking at it from that perspective. Also, if anyone follows the Wheel of the Year or are really interested, the summer solstice is also known as Letha, and it's considered one of the most sacred Sabbats of the year. Again, it starts the summer months and the longest day of the year before nights start to grow longer. And there's like a lot of things when I was doing research for this, that I read between this particular time, a lot of different goddesses, also goddesses that we had already talked about. So I know we're going to talk about one in particular as well. And Lauren, you can go into that whenever.
Sure. Yeah. Just before I go into it, I wanted to say real quick that like almost every other turn of the wheel, this is a fire festival.
Of course.
There's so many excuses to light a dang fire, but lighting a bonfire is one way to celebrate. And, you know, if you think about this in just the everyday, think about like lighting the barbecue grill, having a little fire, making s'mores, you know, just the stuff that we already do. And I think like, I personally like sometimes thinking about these in that way, because it's really cool that we kind of already honor these cycles. We just do it in a way that's not always super intentional
mm-hmm.
or not with the awareness, you know? So you can like really just do whatever you are normally doing, like Father's Day, you know, barbecuing, whatever that might be, and add that extra bit of like intention and magic behind it. So, and an extra thing you can do with the fire in the spirit of letting go is like, you know, burning away, whether that's symbolically or if it's like a piece of paper, something like that, anything that you are letting go of right now. So,
yeah, it's in same way with, you know, you said setting your intentions, you can, even if it's not letting go, but what you're, you can also do it like calling in too. I know sometimes I do that, but bearing it as well. And for those of you that are doing altar work or you feel called to altar work, really, this is a time to, you know, dress your altar in this time if you are honoring the seasons. Go outside in nature, find what is calling to you. You can gather certain herbs that really speak to you around this time. You can, I don't know, you can create or make a little sun clay thing. I know I'm doing a lot of crafts with Macy, and I know we're going to do that this year. But what is calling to you for this time? What is this representing to you? And place that on your altar. You know, take some time, clean up your altar, place these items on your altar, spruce up the things that you already have. And as you come to this space, the sacred space that you've created in your home, like, this is a way to be intentional and reminded every single day, like what this time means to you. What are you working on? I think sometimes we get really busy in our life in general, but having an altar, I've been really big into this really for the past year. Having an altar is one of the ways for us to slow down, for us to really get intentional about what we're doing and how we're moving through our life. And it's like just a focus area and a focal point in your home. And it can be anywhere. It could be big or small. It could be on a tray. It could be in the windowsill. It really does not matter as long as you are setting the intention for what the space is. I have two. And I have one, my personal one that's in my closet where I can close the door behind me. And it's just my personal space. And I have one in the living room that little things get added to it that I don't know, but I'm getting my kids involved and we go out and we find things in nature and we bring it back and then we get to talk about it. So I really think like the summer solstice, because everything is so fruitful and plentiful, is such a great time to really like step into altar work as well.
Yeah. Thanks for adding that. I was thinking about that. Like Gemma is starting to get at the age now where she wants to like pick up little treasures, maybe a rock where we are or flower, and having a sweet little place to put that, you know, is definitely something we can incorporate into our practices and bring our kids
sure.
in.
Yeah, absolutely. And anything they can get there, like giving them the permission before, I was like, no, don't touch that. Don't do that. But now it's like, you know what? This is the family altar. This is for them. And you know, honestly, now they don't really play with it. They know it's not a toy. They know we sit in front of it. And then Lauren, the last thing I want to add before we moved on was, obviously with the summer solstice, take some time to bathe in the light and the warmth of the sun, like see the sun rise and see it set, like really take in this energy of the sun, and really honor it by your presence. So I think that's a great way. If anything else, you can't do anything else, like you can do those things.
So I talked about in the June Oracle how summer is the season of Pitta in Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. And So just another tip besides bathing in the sun is getting some water, because that's going to help bring some balance and to have fun and play. When it comes to movement in this season, instead of like going extra hard, this is about like finding some lightness and fun to balance out the intensity of the sun and how long it is outside. So just a little tip there.
Yes, I love that. We're always in the water these days.
Gotta be. Yeah, find yourself a splash park, a pool, a lake, the ocean, whatever. A creek. Mm-hmm. We were swimming in a creek yesterday and it was really fun. So there are different goddesses who are like the generous mother for this season, and I wanted to focus in on Freya today. So I'm using a beautiful legendary ladies book by Anne Shen, and I was going to share a little bit about Freya, and she's a Scandinavian goddess. So the Norse goddess of love and ruler of war and death, Freya is a beautiful sorceress who rides around in a cat-drawn golden chariot. According to her legend, she was born to meditate. Oh gosh, reading. She was born to mediate the conflict between two warring groups of Norse gods, the peaceful Vanir and the combative Æsir. She joined the Vanir hostages in Asgard, home of the Æsir gods, quickly won them over with her charm, and established a spiritual peace. She wears a falcon-feathered cloak that allows her to travel swiftly between heaven and earth. On the battlefield, she had first choice of the souls who would come and live with her in the enormous palace of Asgard, where they celebrated forever in joy and pleasure. Because of her beauty and love of pleasure, she was also famous for her sexuality in many of her myths. In one myth, she is obsessed with obtaining the famous amber necklace from four dwarves who forged it. She loved the beautiful necklace the moment she set eyes on it, and the four dwarves asked that she pay for it by sleeping with each of them. Beauty for beauty. Well, well, well.
Okay.
Call out Freya when you need the push to be bold and embark on an adventure to pursue your heart's desire. Ooh. So when I think of Freya in the context of the summer solstice, and as a generous goddess, not just giving away her little bussy there, I think of what can we let go of that's getting in the way of us pursuing our dreams, right? Is there self-doubt? Is there negative self-talk? Are there habits that aren't serving us? Are there relationships that aren't serving us? And how can we get more aligned to be a match for what we desire? What does she bring up for you?
Yeah, I really love, well, first of all, I'm just going to say I've been reading this series. It's called The Iron Druid. It's just one of the things I have on Audible when I'm like cleaning or something like that. Because you can't consume content all the time. You have to have something fun. And it talks about Freya as part of like the Norse, one of the Norse and the goddess. And I think it's really cool that we're talking about her. But anyway, when I was listening to that and learning about her through that, I love like her polarity. So we have Freya, this goddess of love and, you know, passionate and beautiful, but then we also have her as like of war and death. And I really like how she kind of like, we can see ourselves in her, and we also should see ourselves as we go through our day to day, that we do have to, we're this all encompassing being. We're not just supposed to be beautiful and soft and feminine, but we do have this hard side, this edge, this, you know, I'm not going to say we're going to like start a war or anything like that, but you know, we can take names too. Like we can have a little sass and have a little edge to who we are, and that's okay. And that's all like part of who we are as femmes or women or just, you know, people in general. So I love that sacred polarity around her. So that's what came up for me when we started talking about and I read about Freya.
I love what you're saying. And also, like, when it comes to war, it's not as though she's starting the war. She's going in to create peace, right? She's not going to do it by, like, sweetly singing a song or, like, meditating in a field of flowers, right? She has to use her ferocity to get there. So I think of like real mama bear energy. You know, if the kids are fighting, you got to go in and snip a little bit to bring a sense of peace. So I think, you know, that kind of feminine energy is needed. And we also see it in goddesses like Durga and Kali. Like they use their ferocity to foster peace, because it unfortunately is the nature of man to fight, and in these big ways oftentimes. So we need this like mother to come in and be like, no. And here's a better way.
Yeah, I completely love that. Yeah, that's, I think it's key to just knowing the polarities we have in all of us and being accepting of that and knowing that it's for a reason. There are different ways you can actually like work with her, I feel like. And I think I read somewhere too that she is also considered one of the goddesses of the moon. So obviously like the moon cycles, and, you know, again, you can work with her and her energy and have her likeness on one of your altars. And like, I think rune work is really big with the Norse gods and goddesses, that pantheon. So I'm not particularly into runes or really did any homework with them quite yet, but that is one, another way you can work with her. And obviously like just reading more about her and seeing what she's about. And then I also think somewhere, honey is associated with her. So maybe, beekeeping, if anyone is into that, might be a way that you could sit and work with her energy and honor that as well. So yeah, I absolutely love learning about her.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. I think she's also the goddess of Friday, like the day of
yes.
the week.
Yes.
And that brings about this sense of like completion, of excitement, of celebration. So that's another aspect of her we can bring in as well whenever we need. So Rashida, thank you so much for sharing. I loved this conversation. I love these opportunities to really align with nature and celebrate the seasons and the seasonal changes. So thanks for doing that with me.
Yes, friend. Love this. And I hope that you have a happy summer solstice.
You too. Love you, love you, and love you, besties.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.